This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, welcome to a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always give me a follow, shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, that's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, or on our network's account, at CBS Sports Radio. Ryan Trace Hickey along the other way, and we're rocking and rolling with you for the next 4 hours, all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and we'll have some friends join us along the way. Coming up hour 20 from now, we'll spend a few minutes previewing all the games with a longtime NFL scribe, a Hall of Fame voter, and Gary Myers. Then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Cleveland Browns, Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. We'll be joined by a legendary NFL return man, a great Cleveland Brown. He played there, I think, from like 2005 to 2012. Josh Cribbs is going to be in the house with us. Well, not in the house, but you know what I mean. If we tried to get Josh Cribbs in this building right now, oh, that would not be allowed with the COVID protocols. Why do you think the next time there will be in-studio guests? I'm not even going to try to speculate that at this point. But Josh Cribbs will join us at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. And then to kick off the final hour of the program, we'll be joined by Gus Frerotte in his weekly spot, NFL Picks. And good old Gus did not defeat me on the opening round of Wild Card Weekend. So if this continues, I will get a Gus Frerotte fathead signed, and we'll hang it somewhere in this studio. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. We'll get into a whole lot today. Clearly, it's all going to be centered around football. We got a tremendous poll question for you. We will hit up the closing bell, onsides, offsides, news brief as well. Even if you're not in the playoffs, your team may have a part of the conversation today, as the Falcons, the Lions, and the Jets all have appeared to hire their next football coach. We also know that Urban Meyer was introduced as the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So a lot of things are running around the coaching carousel circuit, and not that many jobs do remain open. And also, there is one job that is still open, and we all know their franchise quarterback is not happy. Deshaun Watson, another cryptic tweet today that we'll have to break down later on during the Zach Gelb Show. All right, since it is a football Friday, since we're all pumped up, Wild Card Weekend in the rearview mirror, now we're all focusing on divisional round weekend. You got two games tomorrow. You got two games on Sunday. And just like last weekend, I know there was three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. That's the only difference. We're going to do what we do best. We'll break down the games today. And then tomorrow, I'll be tweeting up a storm. I'll be sitting on my couch, a few drinks in hand. I'll have a bunch of great appetizers, a good main course, and then also a good dessert. And then probably after doing that on Saturday, assuming the hangover is not all that bad on Sunday, at one point, and it's nice because Sunday the first game's not at 1 p.m. Eastern, I'll be able to get to the gym, go on a little bit of an hour of exercise, maybe an hour 20 if I lift some weights, and then boom, repeat Saturday once again on Sunday. And before you know it, we'll be breaking down who's going to the conference championship round and who's going to be playing for a spot in the Super Bowl coming up on Monday on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. But before we get to Monday, let's talk about how we're going to get to Monday. And I got four games in front of me, eight teams left in the 2020-2021 NFL season. And those eight games or eight teams that are remaining, they all have a shot to get to the Super Bowl. Now, you may say, does every team have a shot? Well, all you got to look at is last week. Because last week, who had, and I didn't think that the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to win the game, but who had the Cleveland Browns blown out the Pittsburgh Steelers? Or if you want to go back in history, when the Giants won two Super Bowls, who thought the Giants were going to win those two Super Bowls, their most recent two Super Bowls, in their franchise's four? Now, there are some years where a team emerges out of nowhere, and maybe that could be Baltimore this year. Because like you look at Baltimore, and I'm not telling you Baltimore's definitely going to win the game. I'll get to that prediction in just a bit. As let me be real here. I've been flip-flopping back and forth. But it just illustrates the point where just because people like you going in, people then quickly jump off the bandwagon. When the Ravens were sitting at 6-5, how many people thought that the Ravens were going to go on this run and probably be playing this weekend? Heck, some people, I'll keep them nameless, but some people actually thought that the Baltimore Ravens were going to miss the playoffs. And even though I didn't love the Ravens at 6-5, I still had enough confidence looking at their schedule, seeing their roster, seeing the way that the schedule did break down, that I thought the Baltimore Ravens were still going to make the playoffs. Was it easy? No, they had to wait until the final game of the season. But now the Baltimore Ravens are here. And the Baltimore Ravens are not only here, they're coming off the first ever Lamar Jackson playoff victory, where they did a nice job taking care of business up against the Tennessee Titans. And if the Baltimore Ravens go into Buffalo and get a victory, imagine how much more legs people will pick up on, how much more legs that the Ravens will pick up on, and the momentum for the Ravens will be soaring. And look at that roller coaster ride before the year. Oh, who's going to the Super Bowl in the AFC? It's the Chiefs or the Ravens. Halfway through the year, who's going to Super Bowl in the AFC? Not the Ravens. Now we sit here in the divisional round. Ravens just have to get two more victories, easier said than done, to get to the Super Bowl. And you look around, even like a team like Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was thought to be a team that could win the NFC South entering the season. They didn't. They got blown out twice by the New Orleans Saints, and now they'll get a third rematch with them. They'll get a third matchup here. And for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there were times this year where you looked at them when they lost to Nick Foles out of all quarterbacks, and they also lost to the Rams, who are still here this weekend as well. And you took a glance at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you go, man, they're not reaching their potential, and they're not meeting expectations. And now all Tampa Bay needs to do to get to the Super Bowl is get two more victories. So if you are in this round, even if you're a team like Cleveland, who got their first playoff win as a franchise, as an organization since 1995, you may not be perceived like, who thinks Cleveland's beating the Chiefs this weekend? Not many people. However, if you are a fan of the Cleveland Browns, if you are a fan of the Rams, like teams that are not expected to get to the Super Bowl but are still playing in this weekend, you could actually envision getting to the Super Bowl now. Now, it still may be tough. You may be pessimistic, but even in some of those pessimistic thoughts, it's not negativity all throughout the week. Because every part of a fan, when you go into a game, even if you don't think you're going to win the game, there will eventually be some time during that week where you go, oh, wow, they're going to continue what they did last week. People didn't think the Rams were going to beat the Seahawks. People didn't think the Browns were going to beat the Steelers. And they did. And now you're in the divisional round. Who's picking the Packers to lose? Who's picking the Chiefs to lose? And as a Browns fan, as a Rams fan, you may not be thinking that your team's going to win. But be honest with us. Even if it was for 1/10 of a second this week, your brain did think about, okay, we just need two more wins to get to the Super Bowl. And what happens if we pull off the upset this week? Because if you pull off the upset this week, you're then 60 minutes away from going to the big game. And in that conference championship weekend, as we have seen throughout the years, No matter if you have a bye or if you're a division winner or if you're a wild card team, if you just get to that round, you got a shot. And I look at these four games this weekend. I love all four of these games. Are all the games equal level of excitement? No. But all four games, you can make an argument on how the team that is the underdog can win the game. Like if I look at, for example, the Rams-Packers game. Personally, I like the Packers in this game. I don't trust Jared Goff. However, if the Rams are going to win, it's going to be because Jalen Ramsey locks down Davante Adams and the Packers can't find another weapon to get the football to. It's also going to be because Aaron Donald, who is going to play, even though he's banged up, he's going to cause havoc on Aaron Rodgers. And if Jared Goff could just manage the game and not turn over the football, then yes, I could present you an argument in the Rams winning the game. If you want to look at Bucks and Saints, I know this has been lopsided. I know the Saints have crushed and smothered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not just once, but twice this year. You look at where Tampa is right now, and I get it. Their schedule was not strong at the end of the season. But they're starting to get that team chemistry really moving in the right direction. And how is Tampa going to win the game? Keep Tom Brady upright. Give Tom Brady time to find Antonio Brown, to find Mike Evans, to find Chris Godwin, to find Rob Gronkowski, to find Cameron Brate. If you just protect Tom Brady, you will always have a shot with the 43-year-old GOAT on your sideline. And maybe that Buccaneers defense that has been up and down this year, the word I like to use most, vacillate. They have vacillated from good defense to then defense you don't love and a defense you don't trust. Well, go create a turnover this week. Turnovers, you don't want to be committing turnovers, but if you're able to force turnovers this time of the year, oh, there's no doubt about it. Bruce Arians will appreciate that. Todd Bowles will appreciate that. Tom Brady will appreciate that. And if you want to look at the Browns and the Chiefs, yeah, personally, I like the Chiefs this weekend. But if I was to make an argument for the Brownies, time of possession, clock management, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, and then Baker Mayfield showing us the way that he's played at times this year and having that translate into the postseason. Think about the toughness of the Browns from a week ago. They were down to a third-string offensive lineman at one point. They were without Joe Bitonio, and also Conklin got hurt early on in the game. Didn't matter. They went into Pittsburgh right out of the gate, pouncy, butterfingers, right over the head of Big Ben Roethlisberger. Touchdown, Browns! Think about that. There's sometimes we could break things down until we're blue in the face, and we could try to envision every scenario, and just sometimes we don't see some things. Who could have predicted, even if, like myself, I liked the Browns last week, I thought it was going to be a tight game. Who could have predicted that it would be 28-0 Cleveland at the end of the first quarter? Who could have predicted it would have been 35-10 at halftime? Not me. Now, if the Browns want to win this game, have to go on 2-3 long, slow drives where the clock just ticks and ticks and ticks and ticks away. That's what Cleveland needs to do. And Cleveland up against Mahomes, you can't settle for field goals. You got to put the ball, when you're in the red zone, you got to put the ball in the end zone. And not only that, learn from Mike Tomlin. Learn from Mike Vrabel. If it's fourth and short, be aggressive. And you may have to be aggressive early. For example, let's look at Ohio State, Alabama. Was that earlier this week? Holy smokes, that was Monday. It seems like that was 2 months ago. But earlier this week, Ohio State, it was 21-14, Alabama, Crimson Tide. And there was a targeting penalty. Ohio State got a new set of downs. First and goal from the 8. Cash money, right? You're going to get a touchdown? They couldn't. They had to settle for a field goal. 21-17, you probably take that, right? Not when you go up against an offensive juggernaut like Alabama. Next thing you know, Devontae Smith, not one, not two, but two touchdowns. 21-17 turned into 35-17 at halftime. So the importance of getting touchdowns instead of field goals and being aggressive is massive for the Brownies. And hey, the Chiefs offense, there's been some concerns. They have not been great ever since that Panthers game where the Chiefs won by 2 points. Have they had some explosive halves up against the Buccaneers? Yeah, they have. Up against the Saints? Yeah, they have. But we haven't seen the Chiefs play a full 60 minutes in a while. And just maybe the Browns defense could come up with another turnover party this week. And yeah, you probably won't be having four interceptions on Mahomes, but if you could get one and convert it into a touchdown, and maybe Tyreek Hill, you hit him and he fumbles the football, and you pick that up and take it for a score, that could help you create an argument to win. And then you look at the Ravens and the Bills. Ravens going into Buffalo. Game that I've been flip-flopping on all throughout the week. No Zach Moss for the Bills. How are they going to be able to run the football? Ravens bottled up Derrick Henry last week, so they should be able to have success up against the Bills. And I think the key to that game is going to be the Ravens' pass defense. The Ravens have a very good defense going up against Josh Allen. And if it's going to snow in Buffalo, I got to check that weather forecast because I've been seeing snow throughout the week. If it does snow, though, think about the run advantage that the Baltimore Ravens do have. Not only with their running backs, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. We'll see if Mark Ingram factors into the game. But their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, he can run the football as well. So here's who I like so far. I think the Bucs take down the Saints. I'm rolling with the Chiefs up against the Browns. I'm taking the Packers up against the Rams. Ravens at Bills. I've been going back and forth all throughout the week. I was like Humpty Dumpty. I was sitting on the wall. And earlier in the week on Monday, I said Ravens. Then on Tuesday, I went with Buffalo. Then on Wednesday, I stuck with Buffalo. Then on Thursday, wait a second. I started to go back to the Baltimore Ravens and started to still try to talk up the argument for the Bills, but then started to think that the Ravens were going to win the game. Now, as we sit here on a Friday, who am I going to pick? Ravens or Bills? You'll find out in 5 minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts on the Zach Gelb Show for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I don't think I've ever struggled so much to make a prediction as I have with the Bills and the Ravens. So already throughout the show, I've told you, Rams, Packers, I'm taking the Packers. Go, Pack, go! Browns, Chiefs. Unfortunately, for the here we go, Brownies, here we go, woof, woof. Fans, I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs. Bucks, Saints. I'm not going with who dat, who dat, who dat say they're going to beat them Saints. I think the Bucks are going to beat them Saints. So I'm going to take the Bucks. So I have Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers advancing to the NFC Championship game. I have Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs advancing to the AFC Championship game. I have Aaron Rodgers hosting Tom Brady next week for a trip to the Super Bowl at Lambeau Field. So if I'm taking the Chiefs, the question is, who's going to Arrowhead? Who's going up against, how about those Chiefs? It's either the Bills Mafia, or it's John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, and the Baltimore Ravens. And if I had to present an argument both ways, so I'll give you the Bills side, then I'll give you the Ravens side, and then I'll give you the prediction. If the Bills are going to win this game, it's just going to continue to be what got them there. Good coaching with McDermott, finding a way to just get enough out of this defense. You look last week, Tennessee's not a good defense. They're abysmal on third down. They have zero inclination to put any pressure on the quarterback. And at one time, Lamar Jackson was down 10-0 in that game. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense only put up 21 points in that game. It was not an explosive offensive performance, even though you did have some explosive offensive plays. That Lamar Jackson touchdown run to make it a 10-10 game. So, if the Bills are going to win this game, They're probably going to have to keep the Ravens at about 23 points or under. And the question becomes, can Buffalo get to 24 points or more? And I think Buffalo definitely can. What has been their bread and butter all year? It's why they got Stephon Diggs there. It's that connection. It's that synergy. Josh Allen, big arm, mobile body, finding Stephon Diggs. Beasley being effective. Bills not turning over the football. Gabe Davis coming up with a clutch catch here or there. That's how the Buffalo Bills have won this year. Defense has been just good enough. It's not a great defense this year, but their offense has been the storyline. And if Josh Allen could go out and have one of those four touchdown passing performances or even three passing touchdowns and then gets a rushing one, that's a formula for the Buffalo Bills. And they're going to have to find a way to just bend, but don't break defensively up against Lamar Jackson. You can't let Lamar Jackson beat you. Now, we all know Lamar Jackson can beat them, but that's the biggest key defensively. If Marquise Hollywood Brown, let's say they use him on an end around and he takes it for a touchdown, that happens. If, let's say, J.K. Dobbins has a big game, so be it. If Gus Edwards factors into the game plan, so be it. But what you can't allow is Lamar Jackson, who we know he has it in him. We know it's in his DNA. We saw it at Louisville when he won the Heisman. We've seen it so far. He's won the MVP in the National Football League dating back to a year ago. We saw it last weekend. You can't let Lamar eat you up on the ground. And you have to almost do what Tennessee did to start the game, make it 10-0. Instead of settling for a field goal, try to make it 14-0. And you got to put Lamar in a situation where it gets late into the game, down two scores. They have to quickly try to get back in it, and you take away the legs. You're not going to be able to contain Lamar Jackson for a full 60 minutes. But there are some times where he could play a bad half. And if you can get him to play a bad half, you must capitalize on that. And if you're the Bills, if he gets off to a slow start, put the game out of reach. Do what Tennessee did a year ago, not what Tennessee did this past weekend when they kept it at 10-0 and then didn't really add on much offensively after that, only a field goal after that. Now, for the Bills, for the Ravens side, how do they win the game? Ravens going to win this game with their ground attack, setting up the throws, setting up the pass. Because you know Buffalo's going to try to stop the run. And if you're able to establish that run, Buffalo's going to still try to stop the run, and then that's where you hit them over the middle with Andrews or with Marquise Hollywood Brown for a big play and for a 40, 50-yard touchdown that comes in the passing game. And where Baltimore has the advantage in this game, when I look at Baltimore compared to the Bills, where I think Baltimore has the advantage is going to be in two places. Offensively, they could run the football. They could keep Josh Allen on the sidelines. The Bills, Zach Moss is out. Devin Motor Singletary, there was high expectations going into this year, has not been a good player this year. So as we talk about with the Browns, so the Browns have to dictate the time of possession, so the Baltimore Ravens. And we know the Baltimore Ravens rushing attack shows up each and every week. And the other advantage that the Ravens have is they have a better defense than Buffalo. Now, just because you have the better defense doesn't mean that Josh Allen still can't pop off and have a big game. Can you keep Josh Allen to two total touchdowns in this game? That's going to be a big number to look for. Josh Allen total touchdowns. If I put it at 2.5, do you take the over? That could be passing. That could be rushing just for Josh Allen. If he gets to 3 or 4 total touchdowns, Ravens probably lose this game. If you make him go back to last year, Josh Allen, force a mistake. And let's say he only has 2 touchdowns, but he also has a fumble and a pick. That's how Baltimore wins the game. So, Trace, we finally reached this point where I got to make a prediction. And can I just be honest with you? I still have a damn clue who I'm going to pick in this game. Now, early in the week, My first inclination, Ravens. As the week progressed, Bills. And then last night, what did I tell you? Where's my best thinking done? Where's your best thinking done? Where's my best thinking done?
In the shower.
In the shower. And when I'm in the shower, I had a thought. I had many thoughts. But one thought I had was about the National Football League. And I said to myself, can I see the Buffalo Bills? And I know that just because one of these teams win doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl. But I said to myself, can I see the Buffalo Bills going to the Super Bowl this year? And I said it out loud in the shower. The Buffalo Bills are going to the Super Bowl. And even though I've liked this Buffalo Bills team this year, I was high on this Buffalo Bills team going into the season. My heart and my brain just told me, Zach, that just doesn't seem like a true statement. And then I said, the Baltimore Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. And my heart and my brain said, that could be true. You know when you have one of those magic eight balls and you ask it a question, it's supposed to tell you yes, it's supposed to tell you no. And then there's one of the options that could be true. That's how I feel about the Ravens. Because we talk about storylines. And we think we know everything where it's at, middle of the season. Oh, middle of the season, this team's hot. The Steelers. This team's not. The Ravens. Steelers aren't even playing this weekend. It would be a typical NFL storyline. Ravens were thought to be one of the teams going into the season. Then halfway through the season, nope. And now they're just playing good football at this time of the year. They're on a win streak. They're heating up. They're the hot team. And hey, Buffalo is too. Buffalo hasn't lost a game since when? Since the Cardinals. Since the Hail Murray. Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins. So could the Bills win this game? Absolutely. But if I look at who I think has the better shot to get to the Super Bowl, I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm just going to give you an early take this week. And for most of the year, what has been my take? My take has been, in the AFC, Chiefs are the field. Who do I take? I take the Chiefs. If the Ravens win this game, and that's a big if, and I know it's an early take, and trust me, the way I've been flip-flopping back and forth on this game between the Ravens and the Bills this week, maybe I flip-flop on this when the money's on the line next week. But if the Ravens win this game, with maybe some of the uncertainties of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs will show us a lot this weekend, because I, for the most part, have said, they're just bored. When the postseason comes around, they'll be able to turn up. They'll be great. But if the Ravens win this week and they go into Arrowhead, and let's say they play the Kansas City Chiefs, right now I lean towards the Ravens in that game. I lean towards them. But first, they got to survive this week. So I'm just going to try something right here. And I'm just going to see what the football gods are telling me. And I'm not a big football gods guy. The only really sports gods guy that I am is with hockey. Puck luck. Anytime it's in the postseason. We need the puck luck. I got a football in my hands. You could validate this. Correct the mundo there, Trace?
I see a football.
Not just any football. You know whose football this is?
No, who?
Maybe I should have asked him for permission, but I'm the only one that's really in this studio, myself and Amy. So if someone finds out someone's messing with Tiki Barber's football, I'll just say it was Amy. It wasn't me. I got a game ball that was presented to Tiki Barber that's on display here. This was the game after Wellington Mara passing away. Tiki Barber had all those crazy yards, touchdowns, all that up against Washington, 36-0. Sunday, October 30th, 2005, at the time at Giant Stadium, which is no longer in existence. I'm going to go old-fashioned laces or spaces. So, spaces, Ravens, laces, Bills. Let's just see if the football gods are agreeing with my pick with how much I flip-flopped this week. I did take the Ravens. That's the official pick. I'm going with the Ravens. We tossed the ball up in the air. Are you serious? You can't believe this. It hit one of the legs of the table and is in a 50-50 split. Because there's two legs adjacent. It got stuck right in the middle of the table. Let me try that again. See, I'm telling you, this is how tough of a pick this is. All right, let me get away from there. That one is also 50-50, hit the wall. All right, third time's a charm. Is there a place in the studio that is not somewhere where the football could get stuck? All right, ready? I'll make sure it hits my shoe instead of the wall. I'm getting a good stretch in here right now.
What if you catch it? Throw it up and catch it in your hands. Boom. Laces or spaces?
Now let's just throw it on the floor.
All right.
All right. There we go. And it's rolling. Spaces. Ravens. Boom. Football gods on my side right there. They're taking the Ravens. So the picks this week. Ravens over the Bills. Then I gave you the analysis earlier. I'm taking the Packers against the Rams. I'm taking the Chiefs up against the Browns and the Bucks up against the Saints. So that would set up Brady Rodgers in Lambeau and then Lamar Jackson Mahomes in Kansas City. We'll give you the picks on the spread later on in the program when Gus Frerotte joins us. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, the coaching carousel. A lot of people are jumping on the merry-go-round. We'll give you the update on all the latest in the National Football League and the coaching carousel.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. All righty. So NFL coaching carousel. Here's what we know so far. Urban Meyer, officially the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he's going to get Trevor Lawrence. Robert Saleh, officially the next head football coach of the JETS Jets. Arthur Smith is now the former offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. He is the next head football coach of the Atlanta Falcons, replacing Dan Quinn. And the Lions are closing in, as this one's a shocker, Dan Campbell as their next head coach. Now, if I would have told you before the coaching carousel started that a Campbell got a head coaching job, you would have thought it would have been Matt Campbell, the head coach at Iowa State. He didn't take any interviews. He's going to stay at Iowa State. Dan Campbell, who was the interim HC when Joe Philbin got fired in Miami. I think Dan Campbell went like 5-7 or something like that as the interim HC with the Miami Dolphins. He's now with the Saints and has been with the Saints for a while. Dan Campbell, that's who the Lions are expected to choose as their next head football coach. And the Lions, as we know, they did hire a general manager recently. They inked Brad Holmes, who's 41 years old, to a 5-year contract. And Brad Holmes goes to the Detroit Lions from the Los Angeles Rams, where he did serve as the team's college scouting director. So when we look at those three recent hires that we didn't know when we signed off yesterday, because we did know that Urban Meyer was the next Jacksonville Jaguars coach. We gave you the reaction to that yesterday. And I got some stats for you that we'll get to in about an hour from now about Urban Meyer and college coaches since 2000 going directly from the college sideline to getting an HC gig on an NFL sideline. So we'll get back to Urban in a bit. But let's just examine those three hires that have happened in the last 24 hours or less than 24 hours. Robert Saleh to the Jets. That is what we call a home run hire. Now, does it mean just because you have a popular hire that Robert Saleh with the Jets, it's going to be something where the Jets win multiple playoff games and the Jets win a Super Bowl and Robert Saleh's going to the Hall of Fame? No, does not mean that. For years, though, the Jets have not picked the right guy. Ever since, really, Rex Ryan, they have struggled to pick the right guy. Like, Todd Bowles didn't have the personality for New York. Todd Bowles had a big blunder, didn't have his team prepared, ready to go in that big game, final week of the season, up against the Buffalo Bills. You look at the Adam Gase hire. The Adam Gase hire was terrible for the New York Jets. And last time the Jets had an opening, it was Adam Gase. I could not find a Jet fan that was positive about Adam Gase. Now with Robert Saleh, and you know Jets fans, they don't usually sing a positive tune. The Jets fans today are all in harmony, and they're all singing the same note, and it's a very positive, glorious-sounding note. Now, just because you win the press conference that hasn't happened yet, or you just win the popular opinion, does not mean that it'll end up being a right hire. But for a while, I have been a proponent of Robert Saleh. I like his energy, and as great of a job as he did last year when that team got to the Super Bowl, I thought the job this year he did with that defense was even more impressive. Yes, the 49ers didn't make the playoffs, but look at that roster. That roster was decimated with injuries. And he still found a way to get that team to play really well. And also, he found a way to get his side of the ball to be in it in almost each and every game. And have turnovers still created. Get pressure on the quarterback. His guys didn't quit on him. When they could have, when you're trotting out, what, Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard? Or a hobbled up Jimmy G? That defense, knowing that their offense didn't give them much of a chance because they lost Jimmy G, they lost Kittle for most of the season, that defense rallied around the energy of Robert Saleh. And what is Robert Saleh? He's a CEO. He's a leader of men. He's everything. He checks all the boxes of being a head coach. And here's a little interesting storyline. And this is something that I posted like back in like last year, but it's from an article. I read it for the first time last year, but it's from an article from 2017. 9/11 changed many lives. And hey, I live right next to the Freedom Tower here in New York. Robert Saleh's brother, on the morning of 9/11, was in the South Tower. I guess he was in New York for training for his job. His brother was in the South Tower. And he got out of the building. He called Robert Saleh's father and said, I'm okay. But then obviously then the buildings both came crashing down. They did not hear from Robert Saleh's brother for hours, like 6, 7, 8 hours. Eventually, the brother contacted the family, said he made it out alive, made it out okay. All is okay with him. It was that day where Robert Saleh, he wasn't in New York, but he was working in finance. I think he was a banker in Detroit. And it was that day where he started to realize the importance of life and started to reevaluate his purpose in life. And he said to himself, I got to get back into football. He was like 22, 23 at the time. I got to get back and do what I love, and that is football. And he wasn't good enough to be an NFL pro. So he picked up coaching. And he got a graduate assistant job where he was on the staff at Michigan State. And from there, he put in the work, made a lot of impressions on people, and now he's an NFL head coach in New York, too. That's a pretty neat story, if you ask me. So Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas right now, did a good job getting Saleh in, getting one of the top candidates on the market. Now the question is, can Joe Douglas, can he fix this roster? Can he get this roster to be a good roster? And the early reports from Schefter last night is the Jets are leaning towards keeping Sam Darnold. So then with that number two pick, do you take Penei Sewell? Do you take Devontae Smith? Or since you're keeping Sam, do you take advantage of someone else that's starving for a QB? That's starving Marvin for a QB? That want Wilson, that want Fields, and they'll give up anything it takes to go get one of those two quarterbacks. And then you get a boatload of picks and you help build your roster. So the Robert Saleh move, very positive. Now the Arthur Smith decision with the Falcons. I think this is a move that it's going to be perceived as positive. Arthur Smith was another one of those candidates that were considered to be at the top of the list. Now, let me just say this. Just because you're at the top of the list does not mean that you're going to end up being a successful head coach. There was a time where Adam Gase was one of the top of the list candidates when he went to Miami. And that's just one. How many candidates? Gus Bradley went to Jacksonville, never had success with the Jaguars. We go through this over and over and over again where you're the popular choice. And it's always if it's popular and if that works, you know, that means that it works. You got to get the right fit. And you also have to have a GM that works in lockstep with you and finds a way to get you what you need to be able to put a team in a position to win. So for Arthur Smith, here's why I will like it for the Falcons on the surface. Arthur Smith's team on offense were very good in the red zone at his time in Tennessee, where the Falcons struggled so often in the red zone. And if Arthur Smith was able to get what he got out of Ryan Tannehill, maybe he could find a way, and Matt Ryan statistically has been fine as of late, but maybe he could find a way to get that offense cruising back in the right direction. Now, will you keep Matt Ryan? Will you keep Julio Jones? You're going to keep Calvin Ridley. He's young. Do you want your own quarterback or do you want something new? And if you want a new quarterback, do you press the reset button and get Julio Jones out there as well? We know the Falcons are patient. Hey, they kept Dan Quinn long, 2 years more than they should have. I'm not really overly concerned about the offense because you go in either direction. And I still think Matt Ryan can get you back to the playoffs. But Matt Ryan can't get you back to the playoffs on his own. Matt Ryan needs a defense. So, yes, you bring in Arthur Smith with the Falcons. Who's going to be his defensive coordinator? And will that be someone with experience? Wade Phillips is still on the market. There were some rumors that Wade Phillips was going to go to the Raiders. It ended up being Gus Bradley, or if you ask the Raiders social media department, it was Ken Whisenhunt with that snafu on social media. So Arthur Smith is going to be the next head coach of the Falcons. Now, Dan Campbell, I'm going to say people are going to say that this isn't a positive hire. This isn't a popular decision. Doesn't mean that it can't work. And Dan Campbell, you hear how much how he is a leader of men and how he has good energy. Now, those are just some buzzwords, and you wonder how much weight do they actually hold. But Dan Campbell was a player in this league as recently as 2009. He was on the Dolphins coaching staff, ended up being the interim head coach of the Dolphins in 2015, and ever since, he's been the assistant to the head coach and the tight ends coach 2016 to up until today with the New Orleans Saints, and that will continue throughout the Saints playoff run. But it looks like it's going to be Dan Campbell as the next head coach of the Detroit Lions. And once again, that's an organization. Stafford's still good. What's going to happen with the receivers? Who's going to be back? You don't got a lot of talent on defense. I'll be curious to see how he builds his staff. But do me a favor. If you don't know much about Robert Saleh, who looks like Brandon Tierney, by the way, and also if you don't know much about Dan Campbell, Google both of them in a break. And then tell me who wins the fight. Because that would be a great... Maybe we should get our pal Dana White on the phone, the president of the UFC. Let's get Robert Saleh, the new head coach of the Jets, and Dan Campbell's expected to be the next head coach of the Lions in an octagon. Those two guys would be one fight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.